Welcome to Casual Nerddom, a place where you can be nerdy without being an expert, where you can be real without being woke.
Now, what do we mean by that? If you watch Game of Thrones and you don't know who made it, that's okay. This is the place for you. If you are an MCU fan but might not know everything about the comics that it pulls from, this is the place for you. This is a judgment-free zone to discuss anything nerdy.
I'm Chris Bacon.
I'm Adrian Daniel.
And welcome to Casual Nerddom.
So, thank you guys for listening. This is episode 2
Dose.
Of Casual Nerddom.
Yes, indeed.
Super excited to begin this episode because we're going to be talking about a topic that I have a very, very close relationship to. And I think probably every young person that grew up in the 90s has a relationship to this particular topic. I just want to say that going forward, like I said, please, you know, follow Casual Nerddom if you haven't already. Please comment. Let us know, you know, if you have things you want to add in that you want to talk about.
Like, yeah, talk to us.
You know, like if you feel, oh, I don't agree with you on something, let me know. Like, I will take the heat. It's okay. I might not respond to you. Chris probably respond to you.
I'll probably respond.
But let me know what's going on, all right?
Yeah, I love discussions. Like, the whole point of these videos and everything that we do is we want to hear what people think. We want people to say, oh, man, I relate to that, or I don't relate to that. You know, just we want to know because that's how we sharpen our swords and become better nerds. Yeah. So for the
first timers, there are people probably coming in that don't know what casual nerddom is. Mm-hmm. So casual nerddom is really for people that aren't full-blown nerds but still are heavily into the topics we discuss. Now, like I said, you don't have to necessarily be like dressing up in cosplay, you know, and going to all the conventions. But you might have been binge-watched every TV show, every show that comes out now. That makes you a nerd of that thing. You know what I'm saying? So you have Apple nerds. You have sneaker nerds. You have fashion nerds. You have luggage nerds. You have all types of nerds of different things. So
if you ever discussed something that wasn't really real, like it was real, you're a nerd of that thing. That's like a really general definition that I thought of because, you know, we have imaginations. We're able to, we can talk, like, I talk about lore of video games like it really happened. And, you know, when you get that kind of passion, you're a nerd about that. And that could be anything, including something that you might not think. There are a lot of things in this world that you become nerds of. Some people become nerds of religion. Some people become nerds of other practices, just doctors. Like, there are people who are medical nerds. Like, there are doctors and there are medical nerds who know, like, a lot more than what they're doing and always expanding their knowledge. You give me a nerd of anything, and those are the kind of people that come home and probably watch anime or probably watch Game of Thrones because that's ingrained in all of us. And just that some of us are brave enough to not let, quote-unquote, like, animation or anything stop you from enjoying something.
Exactly. Exactly. So, to get into the topic of today, today's topic for week 2 is the Dragon Ball universe. Now, I know there are people that are going to have all types of things to say about this specific topic, and there are probably people that are listening like, I don't want to hear about this, but this is Dragon Ball Z is an important thing in pop culture in the 90s and in America and around the world.
Goku just got a float at the parade,
Macy's Day Parade
this year. Like, and mind you, it's been like 20 years since Dragon Ball came out, and finally, you know, Pokemon was first, obviously, but Goku is kind of up there in terms of like if Goku and Pikachu was in a picture together, I bet you that would be the most popular picture in the world.
I actually saw someone had posted a photo that showed a New York Times article that when Dragon Ball Z first came out, it was kind of bashing Dragon Ball Z, saying that this is what, you know, a violent show that kids are watching. And then flash forward to today, where another New York Times article came out saying that Dragon Ball Z had a float in the New York Times, I mean, in the Macy's Day Parade. So, and it was on the cover of New York Times. So I thought that was very great. I was like, you see how life comes full circle like that? That's interesting.
You know who's going to be next, probably?
Who?
Solid Snake.
Who?
Solid Snake. Metal Gear Solid. Yo, bro, imagine a Solid Snake float.
We don't need that.
Listen, the NRA can make it happen.
We don't need
it. It could happen. Anyway,
Dragon Ball Z. Now, a lot of people don't know this, that, unless you like a real like fan of the show, Dragon Ball Z is made up of, I guess, three parts, right?
What you mean, like story arc?
Story wise, three parts. You have Dragon Ball, which is actually first, Dragon Ball Z, and then Dragon Ball Super. That's how it's supposed to go. Now, technically, Dragon Ball GT was not supposed to be a part of the original storyline. That ended up just happening. I guess you know more about that than I do, Chris.
Nah, just Akira Toriyama has stepped away from being super involved in Dragon Ball Z.
That's the creator of Dragon Ball Z, by the way.
Yeah, and you only know about him. If you know Dragon Ball, if you ever bought the manga, his name is everywhere. So he was the one that penned Dragon Ball first, and he's the one, it's his brainchild. So, and I always tell people, when you watch anime, especially here in America, you have to understand that it's like music coming from other parts of the world. It's been out for a long time. I remember going to toy stores and seeing like Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta before I knew who that was. Like, and the little weird mispainted toys, because no one knew what the characters they looked like. So there was painting people with purple hair and stuff. And
yeah,
you got to remember that. Like, so for us, him being involved in something he created almost 20 years before, like 10 years before we seen it, he was getting up there in years. So he stepped away and they sold the rights to the show to another showrunner or animator or something like that. And they're the ones that contain the story with GT. And Akira Toriyama at the time wasn't too pleased with how it came out, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he said that, but like a lot of people weren't happy. And eventually, once he did decide to get involved again, I guess because the fandom never died down because of a lot of things that I'm going to mention later, that we, the community, have done to keep Dragon Ball alive, he came back and did Super, which now kind of put the timeline back in place. But in the span of that time, Dragon Ball has developed a multiverse, so now they made the Dragon Ball GT technically canon because they have the Dragon Ball Heroes thing.
Yeah,
and they meet in that, so it's like, okay, so there is a scenario in which like they can exist at the same time.
Yeah.
So think of it when you watch GT, like this is a timeline split, like this happened or this happened.
Yeah, so for me, I always wondered, because you know, if you were in America, the first thing you saw was Dragon Ball Z. That was the first thing you saw. Even though that wasn't technically the first thing that was created. Dragon Ball Z starts when Goku is married and has a kid. But Dragon Ball is actually all the setup for Dragon Ball Z. Now, you wonder, like, why was Dragon Ball Z brought to America first instead of Dragon Ball? You know, and my theory is that, and me and Chris talked about this in off air, I feel that it's because Dragon Ball would not have caught consumers' attention in America at that time. There was a lot of setup for that show. There was a lot of, it wasn't as much action in the beginning. It was more so like on the funny side.
And it got pretty raunchy.
And it got pretty raunchy parts. Yeah.
Like that would have been a big issue, you know, and that was the era of Four Kids and My Way Entertainment, like just censoring the crap out of everything. So I could imagine what would have happened to Dragon Ball. Like with the Bulma scene in the beginning and like some of the stuff with Chi-Chi and just some of the like the imagery, like I can imagine they probably decided like, you know what, we're going to not do this because I don't think they would have gotten the Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And then plus, Dragon Ball was long as
on
hell.
On top of we were seeing hype. Yeah, Dragon Ball was very, very long. It was a very, because I'm saying it's all the setup for Dragon Ball Z. It starts from Goku as a kid, because you know they mention all these things in Dragon Ball Z that we don't even know about, but all these characters seem to know already. Like, you know, Goku's grandfather, the fact that his son is named after his grandfather, and all these things, like I said, that we don't know. You know, I was gonna say that on top of that, Dragon Ball, what we saw in America on television was hyper edited, because you know, as we got older, we went and watched the anime version. there were things that were said and done that we were like, wait, when did this happen? You know, there were also a lot of things that were added into the American version that would technically be called filler episodes that were not in the anime version. They kind of cut through all of that, but they added it in the American version, I guess, for this backstory to give it more more content or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised when I went and watched the anime version as I got older. And I was like, wait, what? This is not what happened in the... wait, this is not how so-and-so died. Like, wait, this is not how it went down. So it was like, oh, it was like really, really like raw and really, I guess, not for American television cartoon shows at that time.
I have one memory of watching Dragon Ball Z in Spanish. And when Frieza met Trunks for the first time and he clenched his fist, getting angry about Goku, in our version, they just showed the first clench, the Arthur first clench, right? But in the Spanish version, he actually clenches his fist so hard that blood drips out. And I've been watching, like, that is not what happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, what are we watching? So, like, it was heavily, heavily edited. Like, and as awesome as it was, there was a lot of things that were taken out. Like, that whole, I remember one particular, like, that whole, when they were going to Namek, and that whole thing when they found old Namek, and then It was on a spaceship. None of that happened.
None of that happened.
In space, the space thing did not take long. They kind of got on the ship, they went there, and they got there. That's kind of what happened in the manga.
Yeah.
So, that's why when they did Dragon Ball Z Kai, they took out all the filler.
They cut all of that. Yeah.
So, most people will tell you watch Dragon Ball Z Kai, because that's like watching it as it was made without running into 100 episodes of stuff that didn't happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, because Dragon Ball Z Kai is... basically,
Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yeah, I guess it's like an abridged version of the original Dragon Ball Z that came to America, and basically it cuts. It's only like what 100 episodes.
I follow the manga way more closely.
Yeah, but like the original Dragon Ball Z, I think it was like 150 episodes. It's 100 episodes. The original Dragon Ball Z was 300 and some odd episodes. You know, of
Naruto levels right there.
And I was like, oh man, this is really long. But then you realize how much filler was added and they took that out. I was like, man, it's mostly filler episodes. So I guess they did that because they wanted to prolong the series and not have it wrap up so fast. So that could be reason why. But going back to what I said, yeah, Dragon Ball was not brought to America first. After Dragon Ball Z did so well though, they ended up bringing it to America and showing the origins of Goku and Krillin and Yamcha and Tien, how they met, and Piccolo. Because Piccolo was introduced already. They knew who Piccolo was. Even though like he wasn't the bad guy in Dragon Ball Z, no one liked him. And we didn't know why no one liked him. We just knew that no one liked him. You know, and then Dragon Ball gave all that backstory for why no one liked Piccolo, why he was evil, you know, and how the Piccolo we see now is not the original Piccolo. So all of that stuff. So when I watched Dragon Ball, I was like, that's, like I said, that's another long, long show because it does all the content. That's why Dragon Ball Z was so short, because Dragon Ball did all of the backstory, all the things we needed to know about these characters. And all the in-betweens. Which is even more hilarious because when they did the scene, I think, in the Buu saga, when I think the world was going to... No, when the world had got revived and everyone had to give... When Goku was throwing the spirit bomb at Kid Buu, and they showed characters in the show, right? Remember when everybody was giving energy to Goku and they showed characters that were in Dragon Ball that they never showed in Dragon Ball Z? So you're like, who are these people? We don't know. If you didn't watch Dragon Ball, you would not have known who people were. Yeah, you wouldn't know.
Like, even... I remember when Goku ran into the Indian girl again out of nowhere, like when he trained to be Super Saiyan. And if you don't know Dragon Ball, you're like, who are these people? Like, who's this? Even Super, when he brought back Ariel, I'm like, who is this person? Like, they're just throwing stuff. So you need... Like, it's one of them things, you know, and like Agent was saying, like, they think about the show that were coming out around the same time Dragon Ball Z was coming out. We had Sailor Moon, we had Ronin Warriors, we had Gundam, you know. Most of those protagonists were teenagers or adults with special powers, and You know, you didn't know their childhood was told you through the show. You didn't really need to know. You need to know what's going on right now. So if you had to make a choice between which show you wanted to put up there, you know, you would, if you had Dragon Ball Z already ready to go and you knew that you can just edit out the more crazy parts and make it look Sailor Moon-ish, then you can get away with it. Because this was a time in which, like, we had, like Thundercats was going out of style. You know, Silver Hawks are going out of style. Voltron was still around. You had it, but it was mostly like the trend of young adults and adults being strong already and fighting against evil. Like, and we had Power Rangers here in America, which is really from Japan, but, like, you know, it is what it is. So we had all of those things that allowed us to experience different sides of the culture. But Dragon Ball would have been probably flagged. Yeah, I remember I'm thinking of one scene in particular that was happening early on with Bulma and Goku when they first met, that would have been like a big controversy right away.
Oh yeah, you couldn't have that show in 2018 now.
No, it wouldn't have worked. Like, there's no way. Like there's no way those episodes would have been made. It would have just been cut completely out the show. And I think when they showed Dragon Ball here, they cut away, like, they did cut it. They cut that episode. They just, if certain things weren't just too much, they just cut the episode completely. So Dragon Ball had 153 episodes like that aired. Dragon Ball Z had 291. And then Kai had 159. So that's 291 compared to 159. That's like 100 and plus. That's a lot of filler.
Yeah.
So
why did I see like some 300 episodes? What did I see that at? I saw like 300 somewhere.
They probably added them together.
Probably. Yeah, probably. That's including the Buu Saga.
Probably.
Okay. Yeah, I saw like some wild, ridiculous number. For that, I don't know when I saw that, but yeah. So, and that, you know, that goes to touch on what Chris said about, you know, how that would not have been able to fly in America. It would not be able to fly now. I mean, I guess topics are so sensitive now, you can't even. That's one of the reasons why I feel like shows aren't as good now as they used to be, because now everything's so sensitive. You have to be so always politically correct in everything you make. It takes away the enjoyment and the realism of the show. It's like you have to, if you say something bad, you gotta then, like, explain why. I'm like, let it just be. You don't have to necessarily be a, everything is a so sensitive thing. It just takes away from what we love about everything today. One thing I know in Dragon Ball Z and, you know, and Dragon Ball Super, which is, you know, Dragon Ball Super is such an amazing show, by the way, but Dragon Ball Z, is that there's a character, everyone knows this character, Gohan, which is Goku's son. Gohan becomes the most powerful character at one point in Dragon Ball Z. And they touch on this topic a lot with Gohan, because I know, talking to a lot of friends that I have, that we were all let down by Gohan's development as he got older throughout the Dragon Ball Universe series. And Gohan, at one point, was the strongest character, Goku's son. And they were hinting at this from the beginning of Dragon Ball Z, when Gohan defeated Raditz. Like, he was the strongest character. He was the guy that was going to surpass Goku. That was the setup, right? That's what we went into it as. He's going to surpass Goku one day. They kept hinting at this latent power he had that always came out when he got really angry, really upset, you know, when he fought Frieza, when, you know, a lot of things that happened when, you know, when he fought the Saiyans, when he fought Nappa, it always comes out. So, but for some reason, I don't know how, after the Cell Saga, he became just this kind of pansy person.
Well, I know.
You know, I don't know if it's because he got married, well, you know, because he fell in love, or because Goku died. It's just, he just became this like pansy person of a character that was a letdown. And I think it was the longest running joke in Dragon Ball Z about, man, Gohan's just such a letdown now. Like, bring back Gohan. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then for them to finally do it in Super was, that took them really long to get to that in Super, was a defining moment. But why do you think it was that they, that Gohan was like that?
Chi-Chi.
Chi-Chi, his mom.
Yeah. His mom said it from When you first met Gohan, Goku said, oh, is he going to martial arts like you? He was like, no, Chi-Chi wants him to study. Like, the world could be on fire, and Chi-Chi would probably prefer Gohan to not get involved so he doesn't have to die, so he can be a doctor. And the one thing I have the issue with, even that, like, watching the show now today, like, they dwarf all of the female characters, the women on the show. They dwarf them all in terms of, like, Chi-Chi used to be a warrior. She used to be a fighter. Like that was Ball, that's how they met. Fighter, like, yeah. She could and I know that she trained Goten, but, like, Chi-Chi has to have an understanding of, like, what's going on here. Like, yes, I think that maybe in the back of Chi-Chi's mind, she understands that Goku's presence is probably why all of these things are happening. Because when you think about it, if Goku never came to Earth, none of this would have happened.
Yes.
Right? None of Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z would have actually occurred if Goku didn't come to Earth. If Goku didn't come to Earth, Saiyans wouldn't have come looking for him. Saiyans wouldn't have come looking for him. He wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have met King Kai. If he didn't die, King Kai wouldn't have gotten stronger. Now, only thing I will say is that something, I was watching a video and it was explaining that, but the thing about it is that for Piccolo still would have existed, as far as I know.
Yeah.
And if Goku did not, like, by the end of Dragon Ball, right, it was really just Goku fighting against Piccolo as, like, the strongest person that could exist.
Yeah.
When you get to Dragon Ball Z is when you start taking it to other places where everything in Dragon Ball Z happened because Goku's there. Everything in Dragon Ball happened is because Goku, like, he faced the Red Ribbon Army. They were already there, you know. A lot of things that happened in Dragon Ball was Goku against the world, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Emperor Piaf, the tournaments. Just Tim trying to be a martial artist, which would have made for a really great show if it was, like, you know, better drawn and more even Krillin's death in that show. Yeah. Krillin's first death. Like, a lot of those things. That's why even Dragon Ball Z, when they talk about Krillin not being able to come back, is because he died that first time.
Yep.
And, like, people don't understand, like, why is his rule? Why Krillin can't? Because when he died in that show, that counted because he got wished back before Dragon Ball Z even started.
We didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was like, what are they talking about? Why he can't be wished back? No one knew, because he died already.
Exactly. Right. So when Frieza killed him, that's why I set Goku off, because that was the second time Goku had to watch Krillin die in front of him. Yeah. So then when you look at it now, because Dragon Ball Z doesn't seem to have a lot of character development. Like, if they showed, like, if imagine if when Goku was sitting there getting mad about Frieza, right, they show flashbacks of Goku holding Krillin when he was dead the first time, and you would have been like, oh, the connection, like, Goku,
and,
but because it's an anime show, and because it was highly edited, no one thinks to do that, and they didn't want to introduce Dragon Ball scenes into Dragon Ball Z, but that would have given, like, shows now, that would have been exactly what they would have done.
Yeah.
Especially with Naruto does it all the time. They call back to earlier scenes, they call back to things that happened before to let you know what motivates the person. Without those things, Dragon Ball Z makes everyone seem like a hollow character, really, except for everyone seemed like a hollow character.
Yeah.
I
just, like, to go back to Gohan, it was like, it was a real, I know for
he
me.
He got pacified.
Yeah, he really did. Like, I was like,
he was the strongest, but he got pacified. And I think because Goku wasn't around to keep him training, because remember when he was around for the couple of days with Cell Saga, they trained. And they got really close, and then he died, and Chi-Chi's like, well, your dad's gone, and I'm pregnant, so I'm not letting you train with these fools. You can clear strong. You're the strongest person on the planet right now. So you could just go back to school.
Yeah.
Like, I can see Chi-Chi saying that, and Gohan being like, "Well, okay, whatever. I gotta help with the baby anyway." And
I'm
that's it.
As, where was Piccolo? Like, how come Piccolo didn't be as hard as on Gohan as he was when he was younger? I mean, I would have thought he would have did that. You know.
I think Piccolo also understood because Piccolo's mind change. Are you talking about, like, by the end of Cell Saga? Because he fused, then he fused with Kami by then.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be as badass as he was. If you think about it now, he's not that aggressive anymore, because him and Kami are now back to normal. So now he kind of evened out after
that. I mean, when he was training Gohan and Dragon Ball Super, he was pretty aggressive.
But he kidnapped, no. The first time he kidnapped Gohan and took him away and forcefully trained him, right?
Yeah.
And the second time they trained with Goku, that was for Cell. And Chi-Chi didn't know that what he was doing. And then, that was a running gag too. Chi-Chi didn't know that Gohan was involved in all of these fights until somehow it was on fucking TV and she would see him. Like, the Cell Saga, she freaked out, like, why is my baby doing it? She didn't know he was going to be there.
Yeah.
And she didn't know he was going to fight. So the whole time, she doesn't want him to be involved in that. And that's also
ingrained. She did know he was going to be there. She definitely knew.
But she didn't want him to fight.
She didn't want him to fight, though. But she knew he was gonna be there.
Because she knows you can't. What you gonna do to alcohol? Like Goku, don't. Like, and please, they're going. And Gohan wanted to go too, because he at the end of the day he kind of knew he had to be there. Then he got his power drained in the Buu saga in the very beginning, and after that he got killed.
Vegeta shitted on him for like.
Yeah, Vegeta just told him, what were you doing?
So that was like, so epic, but the way Vegeta shitted on Gohan was epic.
So this meteoric rise that happened in Super, where he, because I remember looking back like, oh, he was skinny as hell when the series started. Then he went back to training. He was been back to like Ultimate Gohan form.
Yeah.
And then like, all right, cool. This is great. But now Ultimate Gohan is like nothing compared to like everyone that it happened since Super started. So now It's like, you're on par.
Yeah.
You're on par, like, and I hate the fact that Goku went around fighting everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not, the show realized that Goku, people, the thing I think that's what happened is that the show didn't want to abandon its star. It didn't want Gohan to step into the fold. It didn't know how that would happen, how you would have that kind of series. But I feel like a Defender of Earth series would be actually pretty nice, because Goku technically wasn't defending the Earth all the time. People were coming for him sometimes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was always defending the planet. The planet would be collateral damage because people wouldn't care about the planet. Frieza didn't care about Namek. He blew that shit up. So, and Goku didn't save Namek. So, like, if Gohan was defending Earth, which happened in a lot of parody shows, like if you watch Dragon Ball Z Absalom, Gohan is the one that's there. Like, I'm the guy to show up, like, oh, I gotta fight the big boss. And he's not like, oh, I wanna see how, he's not going into it like Gohan, like Goku is saying, I wanna see how strong this guy is. Gohan's like, I need this to stop.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be a way more, like, cool show, at least even if for a little while, to have Gohan just be like that first person to show up. It's like, listen, like, I'm here to protect everybody, just need to stop. My dad would have done this, and I'm here to place my dad. And I've been training on the side, but the fact, I think that most people understand and don't like is that Gohan didn't understand why it was important to keep up a training. That's what Jack Vegeta said. Vegeta's like, peace is fine, but what if there's not peace?
Yeah.
Like, Vegeta grew up in a war country, so he never known peace. But he's not wrong. Like, Saiyans live on this planet, and we are some of the strongest people in this universe. People might seek us out. Unfortunately, you need to be ready for that. So. Vegeta doesn't know how to say that, obviously, but that's kind of the gist of like what he wanted to say. Like, you should be prepared for that. Like, you shouldn't just devolve into your civilian life. Like, you do have this side of you that can and probably should be cultivated.
You know, and it's funny, like, because Vegeta was legit a dad, but he was still training his ass off every day.
Right.
So it wasn't like Gohan could not have did it. So it was, like I said, it was a defining moment.
And Chi-Chi, they don't really need money. Like, I don't, every time, because they got the $1 million right in the beginning of the show, so they don't need money.
They said she blew it, though. Remember they said she blew it?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She blew all the money. I'm like, God dang.
Like, I understand Gohan wanted to have a civilian life and everything. I get that. But that don't mean you can't train, you know, every once in a while in a hyperbolic time chamber, bro. Like, you can go in there for, like, a day. Something like that.
What is it?
And then your wife is a fighter. Like, I don't understand.
You actually go in their chamber. Remember they said that you go in there a certain amount of
time. But still, even still, like, everyone around you, like, you met your girl the same way your dad met his girl. Through fighting, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he pressed you at school.
They pacified Videl, too.
Yeah. She was like, I mean, when she got kneed in the face by Spovovich and, like, just beat her like a lamb, I don't think, I wouldn't let her fight anymore either. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was OD.
She just, like, this dude's knee was bigger than her whole body.
Yeah.
So I'd have been like, well, I guess Fidel's not fighting anymore in my book. Like, and Gohan should have trained for that.
Yeah, it was definitely defining.
Like, there was a lot of things that I felt like would have motivated Gohan to train. And I think that's what you're saying. Like, there's no way that Gohan, as smart as he is, thinks, I don't need to train.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It was definitely a defining moment for me, though, in Dragon Ball Super, when Gohan was, we now acknowledged him as that nigga. It was like, yo, Gohan is that dude now, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it feels great.
Gotta absorb our boots.
It feels great to see Gohan be, you know, the one that's thinking, the one that's being...
But he does have a bash for like that. He did it twice. He did it with Boo, he did it with Cell. When he had the upper hand, he got cocky.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And
he didn't do that in Super, though.
He didn't do it in Super because he's like, I got a kid now. I can't be out here.
He actually learned and was like saying that how his dad was a liability in Super. Like, I thought that was really great that they touched upon that. He's like, no, dad's a liability. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be out here just doing whatever and not focusing on the fact that we need to win. You know what I'm saying? He's exactly. more focused Gohan on like knew. He's on. He's more focused on like who's the strongest person I can fight. He's not focused on like the task at hand. And I thought that was like very dope that they touched on that. One thing I was gonna say too is that I feel like Vegeta is the one of the most unappreciated characters in Dragon Ball.
He's had Z. the most growth. Yeah. He's had like the best time. You know. He's done the weirdest things, the yeah. weirdest out of character things. Like, yeah. he's the one that's done the most out of character things than anyone else in the show.
Yeah. He's been super clutch throughout the entire series. I would definitely say that watching Vegeta's transformation and his realization, and then even in Super, when they took that moment to say that Vegeta was like, "All right, Goku, you got it." I was like, that crushed me. As a Vegeta fan, because I was like, Vegeta's one of my favorite characters. That crushed me because I was like, yo, like, no, Vegeta, nah. You but can't. That's
not the first time.
Like, you can't do this. Like, you can't be like, Goku, no.
I appreciate Vegeta because he's the kind of person that says, like, if I can do it, I'm going to try to do that shit. I'm not going to, like, oh, I guess Goku's here. We got to wait for Goku. Vegeta's like, nah. I'm here. If I can do that shit, it's gonna get done. Like, yeah. But when he realizes he can't do it, he's like, damn, okay, Kakarot, like, at least you're here in case I can't do that. That's his mind. Like, okay, cool. Like, I respect you because if I mess up or whatever, you get my back. And if you mess up, what you do, I can get your back. Because how many times has Vegeta just come in at the clutch and be like, you almost got murked, friend? Like,
but that's just issue one. I just love the fact that they show Vegeta's level of genius as a fighter. When Piccolo acknowledged Vegeta in Dragon Ball Z, when Vegeta died fighting Majin Buu the first time, and I thought it was the way that Piccolo acknowledged Vegeta. I was like, yes, we needed this moment because Vegeta does not get enough. He does not get enough attention and not attention, but not enough acknowledgement. I know people always harp upon his pride and. You know, him being, you know, always having that dark side, but he is a genius fighter. You know, he is definitely, if we had to really think about it, if, you know, Goku and Vegeta match, he's definitely a better fighter, well, a better thinker in fighting than Goku. I feel like Goku is, I think Wiz explained this, Wiz touched on this very, very, this topic that Goku is more flexible when he fights. So he doesn't have a rigidness. He's more like, you know, he thinks on the fly. So it's not, you know, like he's never too proud to try something that probably won't work. You know what I'm saying? For the sake of just like doing it. Vegeta is more technical. He's more like, this is how it's supposed to go. This is the strongest punch. This is the strongest way to throw a punch. This is the strongest way to throw a ki blast. He's so technical as a fighter. And I think that was very, 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 very awesome for them to touch on.
Yeah, so. I think that, and the reason why I say that is because when I think about it now, when you really give it some thought, Goku got to train in a lot of different types of martial arts. He trained under his grandfather, Gohan, then he trained under Master Roshi, then he trained under, under King Kai, right? Then he trained under, who else did he train under? He trained with the Yajraks, the one that taught him instant transmission. He trained under, the other Kai too, Supreme Kai. For a little bit. Then he trained with Whis, you know? He trained with Piccolo too, like on an off chance, because they did say that they train together every once in a while when they're around. So Goku has got a lot of chances to soak in other types of martial arts.
True.
Vegeta has not. He hasn't had teachers like outside of Whis, and Whis is not teaching them martial arts. Whis is teaching them how to use their powers differently and how to detect
them. Let's harp on that, because when Vegeta trained with Whis for like a small amount of time,
he was stronger than Goku.
He was stronger than Goku.
I want people to understand that.
He achieved it so fast. It took Goku a minute. He achieved it so fast.
Listen, I was like, I don't care what no one says. Vegeta gave Goku Super Saiyan God energy. Like, we all seen what happened when they punch each other. And we know that they can do that because, they're both Saiyans. They're both the only two player better Saiyans left in the universe outside of freaking Broly, but we haven't seen that movie yet. But they can share energy like passing the ball back and forth. Like, it happens all the time, and we've done it a bunch of times. And it'd been fused before, which also enhances that, because it's not like the fusion wasn't canon. That happened, and it got separated inside the booth. So without that, they would have been together still. So their energy is, like, really bonding together. So I feel like if one got his, and Goku is like a, Goku's like, you don't watch Fairy Tail, but Goku's like Naruto in Fairy Tail. He can take any power that he can get and it can absorb it. That's why he's such a flexible fighter, because he can absorb different types of techniques and all that kind of stuff, and make it his own. He used Krillin Destructo this. I've seen him.
Yeah.
I think
he's done everything.
I think he did a Gallic Gun before too. He's done a Gallic Gun.
He's successfully copied everyone's attacks.
Like, yeah, he's done it before. And I'm like, I think he's done a Gallic Gun before. And it's like, you know, so when you have those elements in there and you're like, all right, when Vegeta punched Goku and they were training, and you see what happened. He punched him, seen a little blue flash, everything went black for a second, and then after that it was done. They didn't really explain that at all, right? But then Goku and just go Super Saiyan Blue. Like, that was it, like, oh, they're training, now I can do it. I'm like, no, bro. Like, no, that's not.
Yeah.
How did Vegeta get to that, right? From Chain Him and Whis.
Yeah.
So, and but people try to say, oh, Vegeta couldn't go Super Saiyan Blue before that until Goku gave him the energy. And I'm like, nah.
No.
I don't believe that.
No.
Like, there's no way Whis would be training him if he couldn't go Super Saiyan Blue.
They literally said that Vegeta had achieved God while Goku was gone. They literally said that when he got there.
So it was like, you just got to get a little bit of God key, which makes that whole... It's funny because it makes the whole ritual seem like a waste of time now.
Yeah.
But was, I think...
Oh, yeah, that was such a waste of time.
Like, but I think what it was is that that was the alternate way. Like, because either you meet a God and you just have that, yeah, or you combine enough good, pure Saiyan energy where you get a little bit of God key and you can then... Saiyans can then cultivate that.
Yeah.
That's why Goku, once you got it, like, again, Goku gets energy... And, oh, remember the whole thing about them being God was, oh, it didn't leave his system completely.
Yeah.
Like, now that he did it, it's always going to be there mixed with his, chakra, but mixed with his energy. So once you get it, you got it. And that's one thing about the Saiyans, which is why I feel like I don't want to give up on Vegeta, because, you know, I want him to have an adventure. I want Super to have him go off and not have a fight where he gets beat up, but an adventure where he grows and wins something and come back with something that Goku doesn't have. That's what I want.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
So, you know, those are our topics. Those are the things for Dragon Ball Z. I want to touch on the real-life takeaways from Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Universe. I feel like one of the things about that show is that... Well, before I get to that, let's do the week of the week. Let's do that first.
All right, who's yours?
My week of the week, for the Dragon Ball Universe, is Yamcha. I personally just feel like Yamcha has always been, you know, just useless. Even from Dragon Ball, he was useless in Dragon Ball. He's just always been a very useless character. Tien got more love. Tien was more like, you know, like dependable than Yamcha. Yamcha just always just popped in, and what he killed one Cyberman, and that was really all. You know, it was, you know, he couldn't even make it past the certain rounds in Dragon Ball. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, yeah, Yamcha is just kind of like, yeah. I'm sorry. It's just
so.
Completely weak.
The week of the week is a segment in which we just kind of throw out who we think is like the wackest or weakest character and the topic we're talking about. If you have a week of the week in Dragon Ball, please let us know. It could be a deep cut. Like, it could be someone who you're not thinking about. It could be from any kind of Dragon Ball content. Throw it at us. Let us know on social media. My week of the week, I got to say, when I think about it, I want to say Tien. Because Tien, like, he was set up to be such a poignant character, and he is, but he has no W's. He has no W's.
Like, That's true.
And it set him up to be so strong. Like, he was so strong fighting Goku that first time when he was a boy. But after that, it was like they knew how to fly early on. Like they were the crane school. They knew how to fly. They had Chiaotu. No, we never got to know what the hell Chiaotu was or is and nothing like that. And he has telekinetic powers. Like they didn't explain none of that shit. And then Chiaotu died. And then it's like, okay, so now it's just Tien. And then Chiaotu came back. And it's like, we don't know what's happening anymore. And he can do this full arm thing. That's the thing that threw me off. Like Tien, he's such a master martial artist, but it just reminds you like the scale we're dealing with in the show. That's why he's my weak of the week. Like Yamcha is just a weak ass dude, but yeah. Tien is a strong dude that's just fighting stronger ass dudes. Like, Tien's entire career is like that one moment when Krillin asked Goku to punch him.
Yeah,
like it was like, bro, you could have died, like for real. I don't know how you didn't die. Like, there's always been I think there's one theory where people say, like, Krillin was in danger and, like, they did a blood transfusion and then that's how, like, he got it. I'm like, no, Krillin's just the strongest human being on the planet. Like, he's been training with these guys for a minute. He's taken some of the craziest hits and he's been revived a couple of times. Even if you're not a Saiyan, that makes you, like, strong as shit.
Yeah.
So
and he definitely pulled his weight in.
Yeah, he did his thing in the tournament, man. He had to impress. He fought next to Android with insane power scaling. She can fight a fly or a god. Who knows? And we're not talking about Android.
We're not gonna get into that.
We're not talking about that. Power scaling's like that's a whole other episode. Just enjoy the show when you watch that. But yeah, Tien, bro, like he did the forearm thing again in Super, and you're like, oh, you about to go? Got washed. And I'm like, dang, Tien, like. Grab him, bro. Like, you got four arms. Do something. Like, and you wanted to, like, and then he training these guys that had training with him. I'm like, yo, these guys, come on, bro. Like,
yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it was definitely a sad moment.
At that point, I think he just, if he was just like, oh, I'm on a peace mode. I'm on my peace shit. I'm like, you know what? That makes sense why he got washed. But you out here training other guys to be as strong as you, and everyone that shows up, you can't beat.
Yeah.
Then it's like, I couldn't train on the neck. I'm like, well, he couldn't beat the random guy in an orange gi that showed up. But I'm going to follow this guy. He got beat up by some girl. Like,
yeah.
Master Roshi's stronger than him.
Yeah, Master Roshi is stronger than him. Yeah.
Like, in the manga, Master Roshi, like, fought Jiren for a little bit.
Yeah.
And didn't die.
Yeah. Roshi was that guy.
Yours is Yamcha. Mine is Tien. You know, I don't think Chiaotu counts.
Chiaotu doesn't count because... He never fights anymore anyway, so...
He really just kamikaze'd himself.
That was it.
We was like, wow. Yeah. We had, like, no development about their relationship. People just thought they were just together.
I have a question for everyone listening, and this is just my own personal question because I really don't know. Is Frieza a man or a woman?
I think Frieza's an alien, and aliens don't have genders.
Okay. All right, because I was very confused with that for a long time. Because I definitely remember moments where I was like, they said he, but then I was like, yeah, that's definitely not a guy. So I just, you know, I
but you gotta think about 2018 now, there are definitely people that act like Frieza that are grand. So now it's like, oh, okay, it makes sense. Like, I get it.
Was he technically the first tranny? We don't know. Like, it's like, we don't know. What
he did change outfits a lot.
Yeah, he did.
He took off his makeup. He went full nude.
Yeah.
Nah.
You know, we never looked at it from that perspective. That's just, you know.
He down talked other people, called them monkeys, talked about what they looked like, what they wore. He would kill to get his own. I don't know.
That could have been.
There's a lot of arguments there.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. All right.
That doesn't mean he wasn't a space warlord. We're just saying that, like, he could have just been on some, like, anyone's welcome kind of shit.
Because they were very definitive and cooler and.
Yeah. Like, they were really.
What's his dad's
King Cole. Like, they made that very clear they were guys. But, like, they mentioned it because they always mentioned Frieza by his name. So it was like,
Well.
Cooler acted distinctly like a male, and so did his father.
He definitely did say brother though. When Frieza was killed, he said someone killed my brother, right? He definitely said that.
I think that what's happened is that it's like the Namekians, like there are no women.
Yeah.
I think it's like that. I think that's what's going on with that because why would every race I know the Saiyans treat the women like crap, but they were there. We've seen them. So we know that happened. They're not just making these things up with clay on the ground. So, but a lot of alien races don't seem to have like the same kind of reproduction. And I do like how Dragon Ball does. They just make aliens not male or female, so you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Except for that Zarbon, one. Zarbon actually falls into that category too.
Yeah.
Of, you know, him being super. Yo, maybe that was their way of introducing
gender neutral people.
It could have been.
Because it's just like, it's 2018 now, so you just notice it more and more shows. Like, you know, if you watch Voltron, or if you watch, like, almost any kind of show, like, there's going to be someone in there that, like plays, you know, that is not conforming to, like, what the 50s thought was the standards of, like, the laws of attraction. Yeah. And I don't know if it's in being injected into every show, if it's always been there. I think it's always been there, just that it wasn't always as in your face. Because back then, you couldn't have two people kissing that people didn't agree with on TV, on television, even animated. But now, you could. And that, you know, I think that just, I don't mind it. I just feel like I see it a lot more often now as like a point of like, oh yeah, take a look at this. And I'm like, they don't really do that for like other things.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I'm not knocking it. I just feel like if you want to make a point of something, like I'm gonna watch it. Have you seen Voltron yet? Did you watch it?
New season? No, I haven't watched it.
I'm just gonna say that in that, like they did that and it, but it, they kind of didn't really build up. They kind of seeded it, but they didn't really build up to it, and it kind of felt like they just kind of did it. And but outside of that, I still really like the show. I still think it's a fun show, and I do. If you don't understand why they brought it to America first, you just gotta watch it. And like I say, the things, like I said earlier, the things that kept the show alive, like Dragon Ball Z Abridged, Dragon Ball AF, Dragon Ball DBZ Multiverse, the comic. Like, there are people who out here like dedicated to, like, Dragon Ball AF has been around since before Dragon Ball Z even like was over.
Yeah.
And Dragon Ball Absalon, that's actually pretty nice. I don't know where they're going, because now he's been changing the story based on everything that's been coming out.
Yeah.
So a lot of things I had, parodies, serious continuations, ideas that I think Dragon Ball has used to keep their IP alive in terms of video games, because now we have the Xenoverse thing that came up and all of these plots. I think they're just telling stories now without having to make animes about them.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah. I would definitely say for any like Dragon Ball Z Universe fans, definitely check out Dragon Ball Multiverse, the comic.
Yeah, please.
It's actually really, really tight. I feel like that's where they got Xenoverse from. It's really tight. It's basically a bunch of different versions of the universes in Dragon Ball Z that have a tournament. It's tight. You got to watch it. I mean, not watch it, read it.
It's kind of like what they wanted to do. It's a more in-line version of what would have happened with the universe survival arc, right?
Yeah.
Where as opposed to having universes where people are like, because here's the thing about that, right? You could have a different universe and then you select people who are the strongest in that universe. Fair enough. But why does every universe have different people that's the strongest people, right? Like if Saiyans are the same in every universe, that's why when you have Saiyans in another universe, they're there, right? So you're gonna tell me that like saying that this in the universe, like they're not gonna be the strongest beings in the universe? Yes, they are, but a lot of times Saiyans were never able to meet the full potential or were wiped out. Question is, how did that happen? Because DBZ Multiverse explored that data, like, okay, it makes more sense. You can see alternate versions of people that you know, which makes it fun. That's what makes it fun, because you get to see different types of people, Piccolo, different Vegetas. What if scenarios play out in classic and they're not a random wolf pack tribe and then a random, like, it's like, okay, well, yeah, cool, random aliens that you can draw, but I'd want to see a Vegeta fight a different form of Vegeta. I want to see our Vegeta fight, like, I want to see a Piccolo, and it's like, just look at DBZ Multiverse. I think they've dropped like a page, what, every week, every month.
Yeah.
It's been going on for a long time, and the narrative is great, and they take a lot of time to draw as closely as they can to the original show artwork, and that is probably the most amazing part of it. If you watch, if you like some funny stuff, I would say search Team 4-Star on YouTube, or just go to team4star.com, watch the Dragon Ball Z Abridged series and all the movies. If you love the show as much as we do and know anything about any of the lore, it's basically just taking that and pushing it into show form and kind of recasting the characters to be more in base with how we envision them. Like, Goku is not a smart person. He's smart at fighting, but that's it. So in that show, you get to see him be not smart. Piccolo seems more stern. You see him being more stern. Vegeta's more of an asshole. Like, and he's way more of an asshole, but it's in line with what you think would happen. And he used to be like a really savage. Then as time went on, he got a little more gentle, but he's still an asshole.
Yeah.
And Gohan, in that show, gets to address a lot of the issues that we talked about in the show. It's basically like I said, taking what we talk about and putting it into the show, saying Gohan does have some issues with his dad. Gohan does have some issues with how he's raised. Like, he does. He sees that in Goten. He does have a little some problems with that stuff. And he talks about it. And I'm like, yeah, it's just like, it's an ode to the show. It's like watching, what's that show? Gundam Build Fighters. Like, they just, they call back to all the old shows before it. I think it's really enjoyable. So just those things that kept the show alive and got us super.
Yeah.
And now they're starting to fold in all of the movies now, which is great because they should be doing that now. It's 2018. You should not be making movies that are outside the canon anymore. Like, you definitely can make it fit. My Hero Academia just did it wonderfully. So, and I'm not even mad at the whole, let's make a movie and then roll it into the show differently. Boruto just did that. And it worked out really well. You get to flesh it out more. So I think it's great. I wonder if they're going to do it with Broly because the animation is so different.
I don't know.
But we do know it's canon, meaning that he'll be in the show when it comes back.
Yeah. So every week at the end of the episode, we do a theme of the week and for the topic we're talking about today. And the theme today, I feel, is being insatiable. Now, for people that don't know what insatiable means, it means always wanting more and never feeling satisfied. That was one thing I took from the Dragon Ball universe with characters like Goku, Vegeta, everyone.
It's all over the place
that they were always constantly always trying to make themselves better.
Or worse,
you know, as much as possible. And never being satisfied with what they had already attained, you know, being the strongest. You
could break that down, you know, a little bit too.
You know, and I think that one of the things about Dragon Ball Z was always learning yourself. I thought that was really, really amazing that they touched on this and they kept bringing this back home and knowing yourself and how self-confidence weighs into how you perform and how you are and the things that you do. When they did with Krillin and how Krillin had this mindset in his mind because of him dying and because of him losing with Frieza, he could not pass his potential because he kept having this loop in his head that he was too weak, you know. And then he broke past that barrier and became a very strong character again. Same thing with Gohan. I just feel like I think that's one of the dopest things about that show. It really challenges you as a human being to want to be a better person constantly and never settling for where you are in your life.
There are a lot of words in the yelling. Like, all the things that we want the character to say, when they yell, we feel like that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like, oh, when Gohan screamed going to Super Saiyan 2, we feel like he was like, why am I fighting in this war? My dad created. What are we doing? like, you know, like, what's going on? But it's like, Frieza wanted to conquer the universe. He wanted more. Cell wanted to be the best and the most powerful fighter in the universe. He wanted more. Boo wanted to absorb everything. He wanted more. So even with the villains, like Raditz, he wanted more in his own way, but he just wasn't up to par to claim it. Everyone in a certain level, on a certain level, wants more of something, and they're going to go for that. Whether it's more loyalty or more servitude or more admiration or more power or just the ability to, like, Gohan wanted his normal life. At least Chi-Chi wanted his normal life and didn't give up on that, which is why he kept continuing, why that was ingrained in him to keep going to school. And then Gohan switched gears and said, you know what? I have a family. I need to step up. And then that hunger for more caused him to go back to, and retrain himself.
Yeah.
And Piccolo never stopped training. And he was almost a weaker to weak because I just feel like he should have been stronger. But, I mean, you can't make everyone crazy strong.
Yeah.
And it's like, what else can an American
always
do?
He's always held his own, though.
But I'm only saying that because of DBZ Multiverse.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scenario in that where it's like, oh, that would be great. But we're not going to get it.
People wanted
it to happen during the Universe arc.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
But yeah, like, everyone wanted more, and I think in your life, it doesn't mean that people are unhappy. You can be cool where you're at, but still want more.
Yeah.
And I think that the show always shows that, like, people, like, Gohan was at peace, Goku at peace. They wanted peace, but they was, and Vegeta was at peace too, but he didn't grow up in that environment. And a lot of us feel like we didn't grow up in a peaceful environment. But it doesn't mean we have to live life like we're always ready for something. Goku just liked to train because he liked to be ready because that's what he liked to do. But if he didn't, I'm pretty sure that he would still be subsequently ready. They went to the time chamber, they got ready. Like, yeah, they did that. So I think that knowing what you can do and knowing your limits, and then so you can break past them, that's like the number one goal of Dragon Ball Z. Like, yeah, one more out of yourself. Like, don't ever think that what you're doing is the best you can do.
And that's one thing that I've taken, that for me personally, that I've taken into my own personal life, is to never settle. And to always think that I can make it better, make myself better, and be better. And you know, you never stop growing. And I just wanna say that one of the strongest characters in Dragon Ball Z was Jiren, and this guy was literally just meditating with himself for like a decade. So, and to him to be the strongest character in the entire universe, in all the universes, you know what I'm saying? That just goes to show you, like, he mastered himself. He had this so, his absolute knowing of himself made him the strongest character in the, you know.
When you know yourself, you can do things with a glare, which is exactly what he was able to do. Like, your presence can move things. Like, him going into meditative state, like, shifted everything. Like, that's a knowledge of self. That it was based around with tragedy, but again, a lot of Dragon Ball is based on what you do with that, and he channeled it into an insane amount of power.
Like, yeah. So I thought that
commendos
Toriyama for that, and always teaching us something, even in spite of making, you know, entertaining us at the same time. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for joining us on Casual Nerddom. We will be back next week with another dope topic, another dope episode. This is Casual Nerddom. I'm Adrian Daniel.
I'm Chris Bacon.
And have a blessed day.